Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, September 16th, 2015. I already wrote down three things, but I'm going to change them already.
You wrote three things down, which means we'll only get to one?
Yeah. In fact, I wrote down about the gospel becoming more central. I know that's a passion in your life and in your heart and the ministry work you have at the Community Evangelical Free Church, which also includes the Awana program that's so wonderful. Esther came home Sunday night with her verse. I asked her, I said, hey, what did you memorize? And then she had it, and I was like, great. The next day, I thought, Monday morning, I thought, okay, she's going to still remember it. Sure enough, I said, okay, what's Psalm 118:1? And she got it again, and I'm like, all right, I want a program. So there's still time for people to probably sign up for that. So we'll maybe talk about that. And there's also something happening at the Community Evangelical Free Church on September 25th. We're going to be a part of that. But before we maybe address some of those things, in your prayer, I get a lot of material from your prayers, but you were talking about the blood of Jesus. And I just wrote down the little comment, there is power in the blood of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And let's start by praying in our program today. Who knows where people are in the middle of the week on their way to and from work or a hobby or an activity or pitching in, helping a neighbor or something. And so we don't know where you may be at this very day, but a truism is that God cares for you. He's paid a price for you personally. He desires to have a relationship with you. And it's all because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ and his shed blood. And maybe you could pray up our program, because that concept of blood, for some people, it's kind of scary. It's hard to really talk about when you think about what lengths Jesus went to, the brutality that he suffered on our behalf. And yet, I think we need to address it and talk about it and be aware of it.
Mm-hmm. Father, we just thank you for this time that we have to share together. We pray for your truth, your power. We pray for your strength and mercy and grace. We pray for all the things that only you can do that we could not do ourselves. We thank you for the work of Jesus on the cross. We thank you for his forgiveness of sins. We thank you that he stood in our place and received the judgment that was due each one of us. Father, we thank you for his blood that was shed for the forgiveness of our sins, his body broken and blood poured out for each one of us. And Father, we ask that you would take the words that are spoken today in our weakness and use them in a strong way in somebody's life. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' strong name. Amen.
Amen.
So the blood is what you want to talk about?
Yeah, I don't know if it's God's leading or as you were praying, it just struck in my mind and heart, because there is confusion, especially maybe the unchurched person, somebody tuning in, and you're going to talk about blood. What does blood have to do with eternal life or following a Savior? What is the essence of why is the shed blood so important?
You know, I've really been excited lately. I listen to this now. Maybe some of your listeners won't be aware of what this is. Maybe some will. But when you listen mobily to music now, they've got different things, different ways for you to listen to it. They've got this thing called Pandora. They've got this thing called Spotify. And what those really are is on-the-go kind of internet radio, and what you can do is pick the genre that you want to listen to. So if you're a country western person, you can pick the country western songs you like, and then within that, you can click. You say a song comes on, you go, gosh, I just don't like this song. You can click the little thumbs down thing and let it know that you don't like that song. So it begins to understand your musical taste and begins to build you a playlist. Well, I've been so excited because a friend of mine said, you've got to listen on Spotify to this internet radio station called Hymns for Hipsters. And I said, Hymns for Hipsters already. I don't know. Not sure I like it.
Yeah.
But I want to listen to it. And what it is it's a lot of young musical groups, a lot of young people who are passionate about the hymns and who are singing the hymns. Now, some of them, they've kind of revamped it. A lot of it, there's one that I really love. It's by, my son chuckles every time that I say the name, but Huckleberry Flint. And they do How Great Thou Art, but they do it with banjos. And it's just, it's so good. But I love the hymns because the hymns are so theological. They're so rich with scripture. I mean, you know, that was back when there wasn't all these other things to kind of garner your attention and garner that. You read the scripture and then you wrote songs out of what you learned and what God was speaking to you through the scriptures. And so it makes me think about the hymn, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I don't know how many times I've written a sermon, and that is exactly what I need to say in the sermon. In fact, I used it this past weekend when I was preaching out of Isaiah 40. I think I said, what can wash away your sin? And the reason I use those is because when I say that, all I have to do is say that, and immediately you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it elicits in your mind.
Right. Immediately in your mind you go, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so those are so powerful. And what that does is it's almost like the Awana program. The music in that, it hides within your heart some really essential truths. And one of those truths is one that nowadays we're finding, it's really interesting in the kind of the scholarly study of Jesus' sacrifice and his, they call it propitiation, his substitution where he went to the cross for us. There are those in there who are saying that it was, what do they call it, divine child abuse, that Christianity is a bloody religion built upon the abuse of Jesus Christ by his Father, which is so far from the truth because it was John 3:16, God loved the world so much that he sent his Son, and he loved his Son, but he... And see, I think that what really... And I'm going to try my best to articulate an incredibly difficult subject to talk about. And that is that when Jesus went to the cross, it was Jesus in his personhood of the triune God that went to the cross, but it was God himself who went to the cross. And so that's hard for us to really sometimes wrap our mind around the three-in-oneness of God. You know, this oneness that God is, you know, distinct in personality, equal in power, but also has distinct duties. You know, Holy Spirit has what he does, and God the Son has what he does, and God the Father has what he does, and they all are equal in power, but they all also have distinct personalities. And yet when Jesus Christ went to the cross, that was a part of God himself going to the cross. And so there are those who want to make the argument of divine kind of child abuse and say that somehow Jesus is a different person, and that God was picking on somebody. It wasn't. It was actually as though God was giving of himself. It wasn't as if he was. He was. He was giving of himself and actually picking on himself. And so that's important because the scholarly arguments, what they're attempting to do, always what those kinds of arguments attempt to do is they attempt to move us farther away from the thing that we need desperately, which is salvation, which is the free gift of God, the grace that saves. And it doesn't happen any other way than through the blood of Jesus, through Jesus' sacrifice and his atonement. And that happens on the cross. We see that foreshadowing of it way back in the Exodus, when the children of the Exodus, God says, you're going to be my people, and he calls them to come. And he says, this night the angel of death will pass over, and you put the blood of the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb on your doorpost, and this will be a sign to you and to your children and to your children's children. Look at the Bible could have just right there stopped and just for the rest of the 1,000 or so pages said your children's 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 children, all the way up to leading to us today, to you in your car or your home or wherever you're at right now, because that's what that moment was for. It was a foreshadowing of what was going to happen when God came in the flesh as Jesus Christ, where the blood of the Lamb was going to be put over the doorpost of every single house, every single life. And by the way, you have to take scripture, and this is where it's difficult because you got to take scripture from everywhere. So when God talks about a house, God generally is talking about he has multiple meanings. God is talking about a physical house, but oftentimes in scripture, God references the earth and the world as a house, his house. And so when Jesus came and Jesus put his blood over the doorpost, it was over the doorpost of the entire house. All of it, everything is covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And now the decision rests and falls upon us. Will we answer that call? Will we submit and in it call upon his name? And as it says in Galatians chapter 1, he's pleased to reveal the Son to us. Or will we live in it with a sense of hard-heartedness, far from God? Listen, God will... It was interesting, I was preaching out of Isaiah chapter 40 this past weekend. And it's interesting in Isaiah 40... that God will get the obedience that he demands, whether we do it or whether he has to do it. See, all throughout the Old Testament, we didn't turn to God. We didn't call on him. 28 times in the Old Testament, it says, I will be your God and you will be my people. And the people kept turning towards him and then would turn back towards themselves and back towards idols and back towards kings and pagan gods and all these kinds of things. And God kept trying to say, no, wait, turn back towards me. And ultimately, he comes in the person of Jesus Christ, so not only does he speak to us, but he touches us. God will, he will get the obedience that he demands, but he'll do, most of the time, he'll do all the work, because we are unwilling. That's why the Bible says, like in places where it tells us to preach the gospel, it tells us to partake in our calling. It says, be willing. Be willing. Because that's the key thing, is are we willing? And generally, we're not. Generally, we're hard-hearted. Generally, we're wrapped up in ourselves. Generally, we're not focusing on God and looking to God. Because when we look to God, I don't know about everybody else, but for me, all the issues simplify themselves. Now, things become difficult because persecution rises up. Whenever you begin to follow God, there's always going to be, there's an enemy. There's a very real war that's being fought for your souls. But when you follow God, even though it seems like you're in the thick of it and you're the one that's getting pummeled, God is actually the one who's fighting the battle. God actually fights every single battle. It's in our weakness that we're made strong. It's not in our strength. God doesn't need our strength. I spoke at the 40 Days for Life event on Saturday night, and I said to the people there, I said, look, we have spent 20 years since 1973, so more than 20, how many years now is that? I went to public school. How does that all work out? 73, 83, 93, 2003, 13. Yeah, so it's been 40-plus years that we have spoken eloquently about this subject, that we have attempted to educate, that we have lobbied to death, that we have thrown so much money towards this issue of abortion. We have done everything possible that we think we can do. We have been as strong as we think we can do. And I'm wondering if we can be a people who can now be weak and allow God to be strong in this. You know, for such a time as this, that God would rise up and that He would, by His strength and His power, take care of this issue which we have not been able to take care of.
I'm thinking of a statement you just made a few minutes back. He'll do the work. And wasn't it God that initiated in the first chapters of Genesis when Adam and Eve sinned? He was the one that brought the lamb or started that pattern of sacrifice for the remission of their sins. That's where the blood entered in, because when they were clothed, it was probably from that sacrifice that He showed them, because you've sinned. So you could even take it back to Genesis, where God initiated that blood sacrifice.
Yeah. I mean, God makes the first sacrifice, because it says in, I mean, if we go to Leviticus chapter 1, Leviticus chapter 1 gives us the different kinds of sacrifices. You could sacrifice a bull, you could sacrifice a goat, you can sacrifice two birds, and it's based on kind of social scale. And so people who have tons of money, who have lots of wealth and lots of that, they would sacrifice a bull. And those who are kind of middle of the road, they would have a goat maybe. And the poor people, Mary and Joseph, they would do two birds. And it says that shortly after Adam and Eve had sinned, it said that God made them clothing. Mm-hmm. Now, two adult people, you can't put birds on them. And you might even be hard-pressed to put a goat on them. But a bull, which considered, you know, in ancient Israel, it was considered that maybe only a few people could ever afford to sacrifice the bull. You know, and really it was the temple who could do that. And the regular people, really, a king could do that. But your regular people couldn't do that. And so when people would read that, and they would read that, you know, clothes were made for Adam and Eve, they immediately, you know, for the rabbis and that, they would say, well, that had to have been a bull. And that's because God is so rich. Mm-hmm. And not only that He's so rich, but He's so rich in mercy.
Yeah, He made the way.
Right. And listen, it speaks back to earlier when it says they were naked and they felt shame. Now, that's an internal shame because of sin. That's an internal guilt because of sin. But there also was probably a degree of shamefulness and guilt that they felt because they were naked. They were physically naked. And so it's the grace and mercy of God that He makes mm-hmm. them clothing. And then we go forward. I mean, again, we had a foreshadowing in the Exodus of the blood of Christ. Leviticus tells us that life is in the blood and talks about those blood sacrifices that need to be made. And then we go all the way forward to Jesus, and He's on the cross, and the cross specifically talks about His blood that was being shed. And then we go into Hebrews, which is really where the rubber meets the road. It says that no longer is there the need for the blood of bulls and goats for the remission of sins. And it says that Jesus made the sacrifice once and for all. And then one of those moments that I just love, it says, and then He sat down, meaning that the finished work was done, that Jesus Christ had done all that needed to be done in such a way that He could sit down, that He could sit down. It was done. There was nothing that could be added to it, nothing that can be taken away. Jesus, from one end to the other, paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. That's why those songs are so important. That's why it's so important that we grab a hold of those and we sing those. Because even just now, I've got no notes in front of me. I've got no nothing. But even as I'm thinking about that, immediately what it elicits in me is that song. You know, I was praying the other day, and I just felt like one of those moments where you pray, and I was kind of outside, and I was just walking around, and I was just praying. It was kind of a tough day, and it was the wind kind of came up. One of those days, you know, last week was so beautiful.
Yeah.
A number of days, and this wind came up, and immediately all I thought is, softly and tenderly, Jesus. Because it was a soft and it was a tender wind, and I felt immediately kind of comforted.
Hmm.
And I knew Jesus was calling. And so, I mean, that's why those hymns are so important, that we sing those. And without an ear to being scared to sing them a different way than maybe we always have. I mean, softly and tenderly doesn't have to have an organ behind it and have to kind of drag in order to have power. The power is because those words come from Scripture. And Scripture has a power and strength all its own. You know, that's the reason why today we can sing. At our church we sing How Great Is Our God.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end they tag in that How Great Thou Art.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was funny, we had one teen who came up to us and they're like, who sings that? I'm like, well, Chris Tomlin sings the How Great Is Our God. And they go, no, the last part, who sings that? I'm like, well, it's like 500 years, it's like hundreds of years old. What do you mean? I mean, because it was new to him. He had never heard it.
Yeah.
And just couldn't believe it. And so there's power in that. And so we, yes, are a part of a bloody religion, but we're the ones who drew that blood. We're the ones that caused that. You know, one of my favorite questions around Easter time, people will ask me inadvertently all the time is, who killed Jesus?
Yeah.
And I say, us. We did it. It was us. We're the ones. Now, physically, God sovereign. So at no point was God like, I don't know, Holy Spirit. Oh, my gosh, the Pharisees and the religious. No. God was in control from one end to the other and knew it was going to happen. And it was we that killed Jesus. It was our sin. It was our sin. Jesus says in his own words, I have to go to the cross. Why does he have to go to the cross? Because God was that resolute about our sin and our condition that he was willing to shed his own blood that we might be saved. One of my favorite verses, I always say this, my favorite verses. One of the favorite ones that I've read recently is Matthew 9, I think it's like 36. Jesus looks upon the crowd and it says he looked with compassion, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. And I think that's the greatness and majesty of God. When he looks upon us, he has great compassion. And immediately he goes, they don't have a shepherd. And that verse kind of welled up for me again as I preached Isaiah 40, because in Isaiah 40 it says, they're sheep without a shepherd. In fact, Isaiah 40 even talks about how God says, I will pick up and carry the ones who can't carry themselves. And I think, come to me all who are wearied and burdened, and mm-hmm. I will give you mm-hmm. rest. I mean, from one end of your life to the other, from one end of the book to the other, from one end of everything, the Alpha and Omega to the other, God is in control and he loves you and he looks upon you with compassion. And yes, it is a bloody religion because the blood was shed, praise God, for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. And therefore, none of us have an excuse why we can't enter into the holy places. None of us have an excuse. And so, I surrender all. I surrender all to thee. I surrender
and
all.
We can be as white as snow. That's another great song.
Yeah.
White as snow. Hey, in our last 3 minutes, okay, a minute for gospel becoming more central. Actually, you've been talking about it, the power in the name of Jesus Christ because of his shed blood on our behalf. The gospel message goes forth, the good news message of Jesus. That's been very central to your life. And Awana, can people still sign up if they have kids in and around the Muhammad area and they want to bring them out on Sunday night?
Of course.
What would they need to do?
Come on, you can do a couple things. You can call the church. That's 217-586-5165, 217-586-5165. Just let them know you want to sign up for Awana. Awana program covers pre-K all the way through high school. And that happens on Sunday night from 6 to 7:45. So, listen, I'm not skittish about telling you. You can drop your kids off every single week for 28 weeks, and you can have an hour and 45-minute date night.
Holly, and I tried to, and it didn't quite work.
All right, it's $20 for the entire year. So 28 times, you have a babysitter for an hour and 45 minutes for $20, you're going to get 78 cents it costs you per night to drop your kid off. And he's going to learn about Jesus. He's going to learn what the gospel is. We're going to preach the gospel often and always. They're going to memorize scripture. They're going to have a ton of fun playing games. And they're going to learn things. They're going to sing and worship. I mean, so it's a great opportunity.
Community. It's a great program.
It really is. And it's time-tested. We've been doing it for, I think, 15 years. And we have got two programs in Muhammad now. And it's a record turnout this year. More kids than ever in the past are hearing the gospel this year. And praise God. But you know what? There's still room for more. So bring them. And I don't say room for more. I always want to pepper this because my prayer for God is that he would always protect me from pride. We don't want to have a big Awana program. We don't want to have a big Awana program. Not a big program. But we want to have lots to glory in that God is doing and to give him the glory. And so the Awana program is not about us. So when I say bring your kids, I want you to bring your kids because I want them to hear the gospel because the biggest problem we have in today's world is that we haven't heard the gospel. And we haven't responded to the gospel. Every issue that we deal with is a gospel issue. Look, I went Saturday night and spoke at the 40 Days for Life thing, and then I joined in with Emma Part on Monday night of the prayer vigil for Right for Life that's going to happen in January. And I told the women who gathered there on Monday night, I said, listen to me. Abortion is not the issue. Abortion is the symptom because we haven't preached the gospel. If we preach the gospel and we change hearts and people know who Jesus Christ is, then they're no longer going to look at babies as fetus and tissue. They're going to look at them as people who have been made in the image of God. And suddenly, because they see God, they're going to celebrate life and abortion takes care of itself. But we're never going to get to that point until people hear the gospel, till they know what the gospel is, until they're affected and transformed by the power of the gospel. And so every issue, whether it's persecution, whether it's immorality, whether it's abortion, whether it's pornography, whether it's whatever, you take whatever issue I'm going to tell you, the root of that issue is either a negative response or you just don't know what the gospel is. You haven't heard the gospel. Or maybe it's that you haven't preached the gospel to yourself, which Paul said he had to continually do. Mm-hmm. And so everything is a gospel issue. And so that's why we think it's so important Sunday night to preach the gospel to these kids. So these kids understand and they can articulate that a just and righteous God looked upon hopelessly sinful men and women, and he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins, that he made atonement, and that on the third day his son rose from the grave victoriously and ascended to the right hand of the Father and sent his Holy Spirit that we might be comforted, that we might be counseled, that we might be guided and drawn closer to him and then sent out into the world to preach that very gospel which saved a wretch like me.
Well, you got Awana and the gospel message in that one in 30 seconds or less. What's happening September 25th at the church?
Oh, September 25th. Just mark it on your calendars. Bob Sievers, who was out, and he did kind of a 101 primer on Islam. Now, some of you guys came, and I know you were like, hey, I already know all this stuff. I mean, I know most of this. I've heard it all before. I realize you did that. You can blame me because I wanted to make sure we were all on the same page before we went forward. But he's going to be coming back on the 25th at 6 p.m., and he is going to be talking about Islam and the end times. He's going to walk us through the Islamic view of the end times, the Christian view of the end times, how they're different, how they're the same, and also some of the history as to how we arrived at this. So I'm just telling you right now, if you were thinking, gosh, I thought it would be more sensational the first time, we are more than going to make up for it the second time, where he is definitely going to bring – I had lunch with him, and I was just blown away as we were talking about it, because I'm like, oh, my gosh, I can't wait for people to hear this. So the 25th, 6 p.m.
And it's a Friday night.
Friday night, Community Evangelical Free Church of Muhammad on 102 West Riverbend Boulevard. And that'll be Islam and the End Times.
And no need to register. Just show up.
Just show up.
We'll begin right at 6 p.m. There's a lot to cover, and it'll be done by
7:45. And the last 15, 20 minutes will be a Q&A where you get to ask questions and get to kind of – we don't want you to leave with more questions than you came in with.
All right, everybody. If you missed a part of this program, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org. You can write down those details or call the Community Evangelical Free Church at 217-586-5165. All right. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.